the autobiography of George Mueller, or A Million and a Half Answers to Prayer. Chapter 6, Part 3, Severe Trials and Early Orphan Work, picking up on March 5, 1839. Up to this day, since February 16th, the supplies for the orphans have come in so seasonably that we were able comfortably to meet all the demands. Today, however, I knew that there would be again several pounds required, as besides the daily provisions, there were coals needed. The treacle cakes in the two houses were empty, and there was about 5 ass in hand. I myself gave to prayer this morning. While I was in prayer, QQ sent a check for £7.10. Thus the Lord has again most seasonably helped us out of our difficulties. There came in still further this day £1.19 2 dimes by the sale of some articles which had been given for the benefit of the orphans. March 16th, Saturday. By the good hand of the Lord, we are brought to the close of one more week. I have been able to meet all the current expenses for the orphans, to pay besides this £10 for salaries. Thus, a part of what has been due for several weeks to my dear fellow laborers is defrayed. I have especially prayed within the last 10 days that the Lord would be pleased to give me the means for this. I have 2 shillings 8 and a half dimes left. March 18th, Monday. Last evening, £5 came in with Ecclesiastics 9:10. Thus, we were again enabled to supply all the necessities of this day. Pause a few moments, dear reader. Consider how seasonably the Lord sends the supplies. Not once does He forget us. Not once is our need only half supplied. Not once do His supplies come too late. Dear reader, if you have not the like experience of the Lord's watchful care, quote, O taste and see that the Lord is good, unquote. March 22nd. Some trinkets which had been given, and 12 shillings, which was in hand, supplied the need of today. Yesterday, 6 sacks of potatoes were sent. We were not able to lay in a stock last autumn, as we had done the 2 previous autumns, on account of want of means, but in no previous year have we had so many sent. March 23rd. Today I received a letter from Brother T., who is, on account of his health, in Devonshire, to inform me that a heavy gold chain, a ring set with 10 brilliants, a pair of gold bracelets, and 2 pounds have been given to him. He gave a report to a brother, who, having read it, was thereby stirred up to prayer, and knowing that his believing sister possessed these trinkets, he asked the Lord to incline her heart to give them up for the benefit of our orphans, which she soon after did. By means of these donations, I am able both to meet the remaining expenses of the week and also to pay the £15 which still remains due on account of the salaries. My fellow laborers not only never asked me for anything, but are willing to part with money or anything else in the hour of need. Nevertheless, I had asked the Lord about this point frequently, and He has now given me my request, whereof I am glad. I receive also £5.10 sterling, besides the number of things to be disposed of for the orphans. April 9th, I am once more penniless. A few hours after I had written this, there was given to me by a brother £2.10. April 11th, it is 3 years today since the first orphans were received. Good indeed has the Lord been to us during these 3 years. We have lacked nothing. He has sent this day, in a remarkable manner, £5 with the following letter. Enclosed is £5 for the orphan asylum, the history of which is rather interesting. We have a servant who lived some years ago as kitchen maid in a noble family, an example of a master, a wealthy member of parliament, the mistress and earl's daughter. No pearl corsets was allowed, but the individual in question acted on the same principle as her fellow servants, and sold kitchen stuff for her own benefit, which she thinks might amount to £4, and therefore she believes that £5 would fully repay principal and interest. The money is, of course, due to her former master and mistress, with whom I have had several interviews on the subject. They were disposed that the money should be given to some charity, and in consequence of reading of one of the reports, you kindly sent me. The young woman had a great desire that her own repentance might yield fruit to that work of faith and love. Her wishes have been sanctioned by her former mistress. It is rather remarkable that our truly Christian servant had been converted a year and a half before this individual's sin, calling for restitution, had come to her remembrance. April 14th, today, £5.08 came in for the orphans, £1 of which is one of the most remarkable gifts that we have ever had. A poor brother with a large family and small wages, there are eight in the family, and he had 15 shillings per week till lately, when they had raised to 18 shillings. Put by this money, by little and little, of what was given him by his master for beer. This brother, who was converted about 5 years ago, was before that time a notorious drunkard. July 2nd, today, there was given me, when there was not one shilling in hand, £50 for the school, Bible, and missionary fund. July 15th, Monday, today, £2.07.03 was needed for the orphans, but we had nothing. Had to obtain the means for dinner, and for what else was needed, I knew not. My heart was perfectly at peace and unusually sure of help, though I knew not in the least whence it was to come. Before Brother T came, I received a letter from India, written in May, with an order for £50 for the orphans. I had said last Saturday to Brother T that it would be desirable to have £50, as the salaries of all my fellow laborers are due, in three, TREACH, cask, empty, all the provision stores exhausted, several articles of clothing needed, and worst for the boys to go on with their knitting. Now, the Lord has sent exactly £50. Moreover, this money comes very seasonably, as in 3 days I shall have to leave Bristol for some days, and can now go comfortably as regards leaving means behind. In the afternoon of the same day, I met at a brother's house with several believers, when a sister said that she had often thought about the care and the burden I must have on my mind as regards obtaining the necessary supplies for so many persons. As this may not be a solitary incident, I would state that, by the grace of God, this is no cause of anxiety to me. The children I have years ago cast upon the Lord, the whole work is His, and it becomes me to be without carefulness. In whatever points I am lacking, in this point I am able, by the grace of God, to roll the burden upon my Heavenly Father. Though now, July 1845, for about 7 years, our funds has been so exhausted that it has been comparatively a rare case that there have been means in hand to meet the necessities of the orphans for 3 days together. Yet have I been only once tried in spirit, and that was on September 18, 1838, when for the first time the Lord seemed not to regard our prayers. But when He did send help at that time, and I saw that it was only for the trial of our faith, and not because He had forsaken the work, that we were brought so low, my soul was so strengthened and encouraged that I had not only not been allowed to distrust the Lord since that time, but I have not even been cast down when in the deepest poverty. We can expect nothing but that our faith will yet be tried, and it may be more than ever, and we shall fall if the Lord does not uphold us. August 5th, Monday. On Saturday and yesterday morning, I had repeatedly asked the Lord to send His help, as there was not a penny in hand for the need of today. Yesterday morning, a brother gave me 2 sovereigns, and in the evening, I received 2 more. Besides this, there was £4.10 anonymously given for 3 weeks' rent for the orphan's house. Also, 10 shillings by a brother and 9 shillings came in for the needlework of the children, so that altogether, £9.09 came in yesterday. August 12th, Monday, the Lord has again kindly sent £11. Of this sum, £10 came in from QQ, when again there was not one penny in hand. We have now supplies for about 4 days. August 19th, Monday. This has been, again, a day in which our faith has been particularly tried. But even this day we have not been confounded. Not one penny was in hand when the day began. We had therefore now, for more than 100 persons, again to look to the Lord.
But this I must say, to the praise of the Lord, my soul was perfectly at peace. I meant to have gone very early to the orphan houses to meet with my fellow laborers for prayer. But as one person after the other called upon me, I was kept from it the whole morning. When Brother T. called upon me between 12 and 1 o'clock for money, I had none to give. In the afternoon at 4, I was able to meet with the brethren and sisters. When I came to the girls' orphan house, I found that one of those children, for the reception of whom we had given notice, had been brought from Bath, and with him was sent £1.5. After a meeting was over, one of the laborers gave 10 shillings. By means of this £1.15, we were able for this day also to provide everything needful. August 21st, nothing had come in since yesterday. There would have been needed 13 shillings to have taken in the usual quantity of bread. After we had prayed, one of the laborers who had contributed yesterday and the day before gave today 5 shillings more. This helped us to buy milk, but in one of the houses the usual quantity of bread could not be taken in. August 22nd. In my morning walk, when I was reminding the Lord of our need, I felt assured that He would send help this day. My assurance sprang from our need, for there seemed no way to get through the day without help being sent. After breakfast, I considered whether there was anything which might be turned into money for the dear children. Among other things, there came in under my hands a number of religious pamphlets, which had been given for the benefits of the orphans, but all seemed not nearly enough to meet the necessities of the day. In this, our deep poverty, after I had gathered together the few things for sale, a sister who earns her bread by the labor of her hands brought £82. This sister had seen it to be binding upon believers in our Lord Jesus to act on His commands. Quote, sell that ye have, sell your possessions, and give alms, unquote. Luke 12:33, and, quote, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, unquote. Matthew 6:19. Accordingly, she had drawn her money out of the bank in stocks, being £250, and brought it to me at 3 different times for the benefits of the orphans, the Bible, missionary, and school funds, and the poor saints. About 2 months ago, she brought me £100 more, being the produce of some other possessions which she had sold, the half of which was to be used for the school, Bible, and missionary fund, and the other half for the poor saints. This £82 which she had brought today is the produce of the sale of her last earthly possession. At the time I am preparing the 7th edition for the press, more than 29 years have passed away, and this sister has never expressed the least regret as to the step she took, but goes on quietly laboring with her hands to earn her bread. And even now, when this money was given, I left it in the hands of the Lord, whether any part of it should be applied for the orphans. I asked the sister, therefore, whether she wished the money to be spent in any particular way, and she had expressed her wish about the former sons. This time she left it with me to lay out the money as I thought best. I took, therefore, half of it for the orphans, and half for the other objects of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution. Visit to Plymouth. From September 16th to September 28th, 1839, we were at Tenemouth, my former field of labor. I had not seen the brethren among whom I used to labor since May 1833. The Lord gave me strength many times to minister in the word among them during the time of my stay there. At Tenemouth also I had, in some respect, reason to be glad, particularly in that I saw some of the truths of practice, and that more fully and intellectually, which, through in much weakness and indistinctly, I had sought to set forth while laboring there. The saints there showed us much love. Benefits of early rising. On September 28th, we left Tenemouth for Plymouth. During my stay there, I was stirred up afresh to early rising, a blessing, the results of which I have not lost since. That which led me to it was the example of the brother in whose house I was staying, and a remark which he made in speaking on the sacrifices in Leviticus, quote, that as not the refuge of the animals was to be offered up, so the best part of our time should be especially given to communion with the Lord, unquote. I had been, on the whole, rather an early riser during former years, but since my head had been so weak, I thought that, as the day was long, enough for my strength, it would be best for me not to rise early, in order that thus my head might have the longer quiet. On this account I rose only between 6 and 7, and sometimes after 7. After I had heard the remarks to which I have alluded, I determined that, whatever my body might suffer, I would no longer let the most precious part of the day pass away while I was in bed. But by the grace of God, I was enabled to begin the very next day to rise earlier, and have continued to rise ever early since that time. I allow myself now about 7 hours sleep, which, though I am far from being strong, and have much to tire me mentally, I find quite sufficient to refresh me. Anyone need but make the experiment of spending 1, 2, or 3 hours in prayer and meditation before breakfast, either in his room or with his Bible in his hand in the fields, and he will soon find out the beneficial effect which early rising has upon the outward and inward man. I beseech all my brethren and sisters, into whose hands this may fall, and who are not in the habit of rising early, to make the trial, and they will praise the Lord for having done so. October 1st, Plymouth. Today my soul was again especially drawn out in prayer for the dear orphans. I not merely asked the Lord that he would still continue to supply their need, but I was so fully assured that he had sent the necessary means since I last heard, that I was unable to praise him for having done so. Immediately after I had praised him, but while I was yet on my knees, came a letter from Brother T, dated Bristol, September 29th, in which he writes thus: The Lord's help has been graciously continued to us. Ever since you left, the supplies have come in so seasonably that I have not had occasion to open until now the boxes in the orphan houses. I have had in hand 1 pound 3 shillings 8¾ dime to be multiplied as the Lord wills. I had written thus far, and was on the point of writing that we expected Sister E. home this evening, when the doorbell rang and Sister E. came in bringing a little packet of money. Directed to you from here forth, enclosing a letter and 10 sovereigns, for your labors of faith and love, so that the remainder of the barrel of meal has been multiplied somewhat already. It is most seasonable help. It rejoices me that it has come in time for you to have the intelligence with this letter. On October 17th, I returned to Bristol with renewed strength for active service. October 17th, Bristol. The Lord has been again very gracious as regards the funds. Within the last day, several pounds had come in, and yesterday, over and above all this, arrived 15 pounds from London for some articles which had been sent there to be sold. What can we render unto the Lord for all his benefits? October 19th. The Lord is still pondering. The Lord is still pouring in bountifully. This morning, 10 pounds was sent from Worcester, and a sister brought 7 pounds, being the produce of the sale of ladies' baskets, which she and some other sisters are making for the benefits of the orphans. This last case shows that various means the Lord uses to provide for our needs. Yet all comes without one single individual being asked to give help. For to the Lord alone we speak about our need. We are now again comparatively rich. In example, we have means in hand to meet the current expenses of about 8 days, which has been only 2 or 3 times the case during the last 15 months. October 30th, a little boy brought me a letter given to him by a gentleman and lady in the street, as he said, to take to my house. The letter contained these words with a 5-pound note: the enclosed 5 pounds except for the benefits of the orphans in the name of the Lord Jesus. November 11th, Monday morning. Yesterday, when there was not a penny in hand, there was given to me, with Ecclesiastes 9:10, 10 shillings. This morning there came in 1 pound 10 shillings more. Soon afterwards a note was sent to me from the orphan houses to say the need of today would be 3 pounds. Just while I was reading the note, I received another, enclosing a sovereign, which a sister from Devonshire had given to one of the brethren for the orphans. Thus I had just the 3 pounds which was needed. A few minutes after came in 1 shilling more. November 12th, the need of today was 2 pounds. As only 1 shilling had been left in hand yesterday, and no more than 6 shillings had come in, we were again in the straight. But I was not looking at the little in hand, but at the fullness of God. I sent off the little which I had. In the afternoon we met for prayer. I then found that 2 shillings 6 dimes had been taken out of the box in the infant's orphan house, and that 4 shillings more had come in by the sale of some old books. To this, one of the laborers added 2 shillings 3 dimes, all she had of her own. After prayer, there came in 2 shillings 6 dimes, which was given while we were in prayer. In the evening, we met again for prayer, when another laborer gave 3 shillings 4 dimes. Thus, in our deep poverty, we got together this day 1 pound 7 dimes, which supplied our absolute necessities. We were this afternoon so reduced till the Lord sent a little help that there was no means to provide breakfast for tomorrow for the children in the boys' orphan house. November 13th, nothing has come in. Our need is even greater today than yesterday, on account of our not having been able yesterday to take in the usual quantity of provisions. In this, our need, I packed up the books, which had been intended for sale on August 22nd, when the Lord sent such a rich supply before they were actually disposed of. To them, one of the laborers added some of his own and a few other articles. Also, some old jackets which had been sent were packed up to be disposed of. At 12, I met with my fellow laborers for prayer. There was everything in the houses which was needed for dinner, but there were no means to get milk for tea. The children have milk and water at tea time. 3 of my helpers went out to dispose of the articles. At 4 in the afternoon, I received the information that 14 shillings had come in for some of the things which were disposed of. One of my fellow laborers had, besides, disposed of an article of his own for 1 pound 5 shillings. This 1 pound 19 shillings enabled us to take in bread as usual and to defray the other necessary expenses. We had never been lower in means than yesterday and today. Yet my soul, thanks to the Lord, was also yesterday and today in perfect peace. My helper seemed also quite in peace. This evening I received 2 shillings 6 dimes and 11 shillings with Ecclesiastes 9:10. This little money is as precious as at other times 100 pounds would have been, because it is a fresh proof that our Father still cares for us. The money was given to me just after I had been speaking on these words, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." While speaking, I was able in a measure to realize the preciousness of the truth contained in those words, and after speaking, my Father gave me a fresh proof that He is thinking upon me. November 15th, we are still in deep poverty. Nothing had come in by 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I went to meet with my fellow laborers for prayer. I did not go in the morning because I knew that there was everything which was needed till the afternoon. When I came and I found there had been supplied that which was absolutely needed for today. We are still of good courage. We are sure that the Lord in His own time will deliver us out of the trial. For were our poverty more than a trial of faith, had the Lord in anger shut up His hands, we should not receive anything at all. But this is not the case, for even this very day, 2 sacks of potatoes were sent by the same brother, who sent 20 sacks a few days since, with the promise to send still more. We have no means to lay in a stock for the winter, else we should have bought perhaps 50 or 60 sacks, but our kind Father does it for us. November 16th. Our prayer was last evening in particular, respecting the necessities of today, as 2 days' provisions would be needed in it being Saturday. Besides this, about 2 pounds 10 shillings was needed to pay the weekly salaries of the brethren and sisters who labor in the day schools. For all these demands, there was nothing in hand, nor have we any more needless articles to dispose of, and useful ones we do not consider it right to sell, as our Father knows our need. When we meet about 12 o'clock this morning, I found that last evening there had been Bibles unexpectedly sold to the amount of 1 pound 11 shillings 6 dimes, and about 10 shillings had been given besides. Thus we had nearly enough for the school fund. Moreover, 15 shillings had come in for the orphan fund. A large sea chest was given by a brother several months since for the benefit of the orphans, which had never been disposed of, and which in this our great need was sold for 15 shillings. Yet this 15 shillings was needed to pay what was due for washing, and therefore we had still nothing to take in provisions with. It occurred to one of the laborers that there might be a little advance on his watch of the money which he had been laid by for rent, as had once or twice before been done, and that the watch might be sold at quarter day, in case there should not come in enough to make up the deficiency. Yet even this plan we did not any longer think to be quite scriptural, as he needs the watch in the Lord's service, and as our Lord is so kind that he would otherwise send us means were it well with us, well for us. In short, it appeared to us quite clear that while we ought in such a strait to dispose of things which we do not need, nothing ought to be disposed of which is needed, in order that the Lord's own deliverance might be so much the more manifest. All we could think of for sale was 5 pewter dishes, which had been given nearly 4 years ago, but which were never used, as they were not convenient. These, we agreed, should be sold. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I received £2.02, which a brother and sister had brought from Leicestershire. With this, I went joyfully to the orphan houses. There I found that 9 shillings 6 dimes had come in for the pewter dishes. One of the laborers had given 10 shillings for the orphans and 10 shillings for the school fund. We are now brought to the close of one more week. This has been, perhaps, of all the weeks, the most trying. So much prayer and so little coming in, I never knew. Yet by the grace of God, I was sure that help would come after the trial of faith was over. During the whole of the week, greatly as we have been tried, and though twice no stock of bread could be taken in, yet there has been nourishing food at every meal, and neither the children nor any other person can have perceived our poverty. About £13 has been spent even this week for housekeeping in the 3 houses. November 20th. This has been a day of deep poverty. Nothing but 13 shillings came in yesterday, which was scarcely enough to meet that day's usual need. My mind, by the grace of God, was not at all cast down, but I felt it rather trying that the abundance of my other engagements had not allowed me to meet with my fellow laborers, either yesterday or today, for prayer. This evening I had a note from the boys' orphan house to state that a lady had sent 2 dozens of boys' shirts, which she had made herself, with which she sent 5 shillings to get them washed. This 5 shillings enabled us to meet that which was absolutely needful. Without this 5 shillings, we should have been unable to procure all that was absolutely needed. This our kind father knew, and therefore he sent it. November 22nd. Our poverty had now become so great, greater it had never been. Let the Lord be praised. I was as comfortable as ever, for I was sure we were only for the trial of our faith in this state. Had the Lord shut up his hand in anger, he would not have continued to give us, even during this week, from time to time, tokens of his care over us. I said this morning, man's extremity is God's opportunity. It is a proverb of the world, and how much more may we, his children, now look to him for in our great need. I knew we must have help in some way, as now it had come to the greatest extremities, there being in none of the houses anything for dinner except potatoes, in which we have an abundance. At 10 this morning, I was informed that a large box had arrived at one of the orphan houses. I set off immediately and found it was from the neighborhood of Wolverhampton. It contained £12 for the orphans, £1.11 10 dimes for the other funds, several lengths of dress materials, and numerous trinkets to be sold for the benefits of the orphans. The joy which I and my fellow laborers had when these things lay before us cannot be described. It must be experienced in order that it may be known. It was 2 hours and a half before the dinner time when the help was granted. The Lord knew that the orphans had no dinner, and therefore did he now send help. December 4th. It has been repeatedly our prayer during the last month and in the beginning of this that the Lord would be pleased to give us again so much means before the time of the public meetings, which are fixed for the 10th, 11th, and 12th of this month, that when we speak about His dealings with us during the year, we might also, respectingly close of it, have again to speak to His praise of the abundance which we had in hand. At the end of the last year, we made the same request, and the Lord granted it. Now today, as an answer to this, our often repeated request, I received from the East Indies £100 to be laid out for the orphans or the other objects of the institutions. December 9, 1839 to December 9, 1840. On December 10th, 11th, and 12th, we had public meetings at which the account of the Lord's dealings with us in reference to the orphan houses and other objects of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution was given. The expenditure for the orphans from December 10, 1838 to December 10, 1839 was £960.09, 2¾ dime. December 31st, as to my temporal supplies, for the Lord has been pleased to give me during this past year £313.02, 5 dimes. We're leaving off here at January 1st, 1840, page 131.